again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 253 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, one of your regular hosts here on the NLSC podcast, and of course the webmaster admin of the NLSC itself, and head janitor, as I like to call myself. And I am joined, as I so often am, by my digital broadcasting partner, Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey, everyone. And yeah, I like to refer myself as the forum's Jim Jeffries.
Jim Jeffries, yes, that's yep. Right. That is there in the custom title, which, of course, everybody can get after a month's registration, I believe, and possibly 100 posts. I believe I turned down those requirements for the custom titles, but you can get that in the forum just for a little bit of fun. But yes, we are here for another episode of the NLSC podcast. As you can tell, it's that kind of dead spot between the end of the season and the beginning of the off season and the draft, and also we've just had EA Play, of course, and E3, and we have a week of, well, not nothing, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We have a lot of stuff to talk about as far as NBA Live 19 is concerned, but as far as 2K, well, it's gone quiet again, which is not surprising at all, Ben, is it not?
No, I mean, they usually keep, you know, things close to their chest until about, well, it was really, was it last year? It was basically 1 or 2 weeks at best.
Well, July or August, I guess, I suppose, to be fair, but we went a long time after getting the pre-order bonuses, hearing about the pre-order bonuses and everything before we actually started hearing about the game. That has become their MO in recent years. Unfortunately, the previous season, most of it is an off-season in the middle of a previous season, unfortunately, between the end of the updates for the previous game and the news for the new one. But we are in that weird spot where we're just getting a little bit of news in, and maybe over the next few weeks we'll may not have a lot of news to cover. We'll certainly find something to talk about, as we often do. And of course, we will have the off-season. The draft, we don't have a lot of thoughts on it at this time, because neither of us have really been following a lot of the prospects that closely. We'll be able to talk about it after we see some more highlights and reactions to some of the selections after next week. I suppose the biggest news, NBA-wise, that we could perhaps quickly talk about before we get into the NBA Live 19 stuff is Kawhi Leonard. Looks like he is wanting a trade out of San Antonio, and there was rumors all season that he was unhappy, and now he is seemingly actively asking for a trade.
Yeah, which is really disappointing in that sense. Especially given that, you know, Spurs is such a caliber team to really want out of, which is a real surprise. When you got the coaching legend of Popovich in that, yeah, it just kind of doesn't make sense in wanting to do it. I mean, the Spurs are in a far better position right now, technically, than the Lakers in terms of depth and talent and that. So,
well, apparently, I mean, the Lakers are getting LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George. I don't know why.
Oh, and DeMarcus Cousins.
I mean, three of those players play the same position, basically. And while there is some versatility there, I don't know whether that's necessarily the best lineup you can have as far as sharing the basketball and whatnot. But that is the rumor, that certainly he wants to go to LA and the Lakers specifically rather than the Clippers. And the Spurs would probably be rather foolish to trade him to another Western team. There's even talk that Boston might be in the mix. And you can imagine if they brought in Kawhi Leonard, that's probably going to put Boston over the top this season, if they're able to do that. But
isn't there like a Popovich clause that it's not to trade any players to Lakers? I could be wrong.
Certainly, I think he doesn't want to trade anyone to within the same conference if he can avoid it. And there is that rivalry with the Lakers going back to, I suppose, quite a few years ago now. But those teams have battled a lot with under Popovich's guidance of the Spurs. But yeah, that's, I guess, the big thing this offseason to add to where LeBron is going, or if indeed he is going anywhere, and certainly the draft. But we could have a few things to talk about in the offseason, and hopefully for the sake of EA and 2K, he is not the cover player for Live 19 or the standard edition of 2K19, because they might have to change the cover again.
It's like I said, it's kind of disappointing, but, you know, if there's genuine enough reason, and if, you know, if the ones that we're sort of hearing and sort of stuff, it doesn't sound good in that sort of sense.
It does sound like there's some dysfunction, which is very unlike the Spurs organization, as you said. So it does come Not as a complete surprise, because there's been that smoke all season, so I guess where there's smoke, there's fire, as the old saying goes, but it's still a little surprising that the whole situation has gone down this way, considering how professional the organization has always been and the great relationship that Popovich and the organization have cultivated with their players over the years. And Leonard himself is not really that kind of player, but apparently the rift has developed over the way the whole quad injury was handled. And, well, he may be available. Won't help the Bulls at all, because they have very little to trade, and I don't see Garpax being able to pull that off. But, yeah, maybe Boston, maybe the Lakers. It could be an interesting offseason with Leonard as well as LeBron and some of the other big names.
You mean that Heart of a Lion Bobby Portis is enough to to slay them?
I'd like to think so, but I don't think so.
Sorry, when I saw that that image from the Bulls official, I did laugh, and I did send it to you, and I was like, just to see what your reaction would
be. Sure Leo enjoys it as well, even more than I do, actually. That's Valor, of course, member of the NLC Grind Time. So, of course, I suppose you can always make those trades in the video games this year, in the franchise modes. And speaking of the video games, we might as well get to it. It is mostly going to be, if not entirely, an NBA Live 19 episode this week, because that's really the only news we have, as we said. But there's been a wealth of information, but a few interesting tidbits, but certainly a lot of gameplay footage and impressions coming out of EA Play. And it's raw gameplay footage as well. We didn't think we'd see it this quickly, but it's directly recorded. It's not shaky over the shoulder cam work. It's actually the attendees were able to record the footage and present that to the community with their impressions. And the game is looking better than Live 18. Some people have disagreed with that. I certainly think it's looking a lot better than 18, with some of the transitional animations and dunks and layups. And all the impressions coming out of the event, Ben, are very positive for the most part. People saying it feels a lot better on the stick. So not only is it taking some steps forward as far as the visuals, but also the feel as well. And that's the important thing, because we can always judge how a game looks. And certainly it's important to have a good first impression, as we've said before, but it really comes down to how it feels on the sticks.
Yeah, I agree, and the input and stuff like that, and the feeling control definitely makes a huge difference, as opposed to just sort of seeing it off screen and or on screen and stuff as without essentially playing it. It has that element of disconnect in being able to determine whether if the game feels good, or if you feel like you have control of what's happening in that sort of sense. So the fact that a lot of the guys are sort of saying there's a lot of that there this year, which is good. Obviously, a couple of things still that in each of the videos, little things that still can be worked on. But, given that, again, that build would be, 5-6 weeks old,
It is a work in progress. And a lot of the screenshots that have come out in the last couple of days, which I posted a roundup on the main page with all the videos, and of course they've been posted in the forum as well. The latest screenshots actually do have work in progress printed on them in the watermark there. So it is a work in progress, obviously, but we do expect some faces to be polished up as they have players sitting for new scans when available, and further polish on animations and certain aspects of the gameplay. But even little things like pulling up for a jump shot on the run, that looks a lot better from the screen, the video that I saw, and some of the GIFs that the Live King kindly put together in the forum. It just looks a lot smoother the way they've had those transitional animations. And I think that's a big part of the problem in the last few games, where it's going from one animation to the other. There's been that it's contributed to that stiffness and jerkiness.
Yeah, and I think with 2K Live 18, I can't believe I nearly bumbled that one up. A lot of the guys had the sort of same animation, like same jump shot, whereas this year that looks like, as a point of the E3 demo or EA Play demo, is they've added over 300 jump shots. So there's been a talk that each player definitely has a different feel and timing to it. So it's not all sort of, again, a one size fits all thing. So that'll make a huge, like, a bit of a skills gap difference in terms of that not everyone feels the same. So you got to learn everyone's different timing and that. So that's really good to see.
And we've seen that. We've seen some of the signature animations, the jump shot styles there in the videos. And of course, they've got basically the same shot meter again this year. So not a huge learning curve as far as that's concerned. But a lot of the one-on-one play with the Sham God moves and everything that people have been showing off. And I was quite happy to see some NBA gameplay. And it's always hard to gauge as a work in progress, and especially when it's two-player or even just one player playing on rookie. You know, the game doesn't always look the best. But you could see the improvements were there, and the excitement that people were coming out of the event with, I do think speaks volumes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, again, you know, getting the game in the right direction, you know, taking it that step forward from what was, you know, again, a foundation rebuild and that in the last couple of years and that. And, yeah, again, I'm happy with things are going with it. It's looking a lot better in terms of it, and waiting to find out more. But I will say, like, a couple of the videos we did see, there are ones where some of the guys, like, Shopmaster and all that stuff, did get to have some interviews and that with developers, and they got some really good tidbits, especially one, again, I'll use the one with Shopmaster where he had a bit of a talk with Connor Dugan, and he spilled a lot of information in that one, which was really cool.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that, because obviously the impressions were positive. We can see the game as it stands currently in action, but yes, a lot of the content creators there, the influencers, did get to talk to the developers who were on hand, including Connor, as you said, with chatting to Shopmaster, and basically dropped a lot of great information about the streets and live pro-am. You know, we learned a bit from the articles on the official website, but some good information that we were actually speculating upon in last week's show after reading those articles, that as far as what we can play, the types of games that we can play in the streets and live pro-am this year. And it's, I think we were all pretty happy to hear about it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want, I can run down a few of the things.
Yeah, go ahead and run down, yeah.
So we have, like, the Pro-Am Tour, so, like, the thing, like, going to the Dyckman and Venice Beach and all that stuff. So we'll have that. And obviously got the international courts, like Brazil, France, and the Philippines. It sounds like there might be more courts added and locations added throughout the year as well, which would be cool. There's also, we're able to play 3-on-3, 5-on-5. We're also able to play halves and four quarters, and with squads. Our squads will probably find out a little bit more, like if we're able to, like, have like a prime squad like we do with our on 2K and that with actual player squads, or if it's also just more just referring to the squads where you could build your team with, in a sense, like an offline one, with legend players or current players and stuff like that.
That we heard before. Needs some clarification there, yeah.
But yeah, from what it said on the site in terms of, you know, find out more, you know, be stuff obviously coming later on in how we'd be able to, if we'd be able to play with mates in terms of a squad element. So,
I think we need that. And we also need play with friends in head-to-head and all the online options we've had in previous games, and certainly the 2K has as well, because there are some things missing there which I think could really, well, I know would really benefit the game from an online standpoint. So squads would be great, but I just playing, being able to play halves and four quarters, not sure of the length, I'm guessing probably five, something like that, much like 2K. I think that's big, because although it's good to have something different, like the street ball aspect, first to 21, much like
they had 7, 11.
Oh, of course,
15 and 21
in the live events. Yeah,
yeah.
With previous in the actual pro-am mode, it was always to 21. But yeah, the live events had different win conditions. Kind of that approach, like they've done in My Park and the Playground in 2K. I mean, it's great to have that as the alternative, but I think you need to have both, because people really do like having that. That squad, because the game can go longer. You can have that back and forth. It's just great to be able to have the quarters and halves, and certainly I think it's very appropriate for the Pro-Am Tour, where you're actually playing in the Drew League and such. You know, that's you're more likely to have halves and quarters than perhaps first to 21. That's more of a street ball thing.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, and I think the variety is the spice of life, and that's, as that saying goes, you can, depending on what mode or what type of mode you play, like, feel like playing, if you're on short for time and or just want to get a couple of little quick games in, you can change it up to what you feel like playing. So
Sure.
I'm glad they've added that extra depth in terms of the variety of modes that you can play, with adding like the halves and quarters and stuff like that, and again keeping the 3-on-3, which they added in post-release last year,
Yep.
and that. So again, that's all positive things, and again, adding that element of extra depth instead of just sort of having the mode and sort of introduce it but not really develop it after the first year and that. So
Or not develop it, or even take things out, and
yeah.
that's—I mean—that's always a problem with. You look back at NBA Live and NBA 2K. There's been games where we've had really great features that we've lost. Jordan Challenge, NBA's greatest, kind of only there for a couple of years. Creating a legend, for example. I don't know. I'm going for 2K for Live. You might mention big moments, for example,
Yeah.
a standalone playoffs mode. So there's things that have gone missing over the years, and it's, it always stings, and we've talked about that before in previous shows, I know. But no, it's great to have that extra stuff in there. And I know it's copying a little bit from 2K, and people do want Live to do its own thing, and I do too. And I think it is still doing it in its own way. But I think if it's a good idea, both games really should be aiming to do their version of it. And that's what it sounds like they're doing. So no, I'm quite happy to hear all this information, and hopefully, if. We've talked about 2K Pro-Am really souring on that. Maybe we do make the switch for our online play to Live this year, if we enjoy that experience. So that's a possibility, and I'm glad that we can have that kind of a similar experience potentially to what we've had in 2K in Live.
Yeah, I agree, and that's one thing that we've wanted to do in this past year was to have that sort of moment and experience and stuff like we did 2K, but obviously it was a little bit tricky to set up and not everyone had a copy of the game and that, so yeah, to actually have a proper squad element would be really good feature for they should hopefully add in the game this year.
No, absolutely. So it's all good news on that front. We do need to get some more confirmation about what's really meant by squads, because if we don't want to speculate too much on that and get too carried away expecting one thing, because I think that happens a lot with basketball video games. Well, a lot of games, but certainly within our community with the basketball games we play, is that we get to expect things that were never actually promised in the first place, and then we get upset at EA or 2K for not delivering something that they never said they were. And we kind of do it to ourselves sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And I suppose that kind of leads into our next point, because there's a rumor that, it seems to happen every year, whenever there's an erroneous listing on a website or something. And of course, the speculation is about the possibility of a PC release of NBA Live 19, fueled, I suppose, because in part because Madden 19 is coming to the PC, which is, as we said last week, possibly, hopefully, bodes very well for the future of NBA Live coming back to the platform as well. But there were people at EA Play who noticed that where NBA Live 19 was being played, that there were keyboards and mice, and somebody at the event actually said it was coming to PC, but it wasn't a rep, and apparently people weren't very happy about the person saying it. Whether it's a leak, whether somebody's just made a mistake, or trying to put some information out there. From all we can tell, it's not, unfortunately. But the rumor is out there, and it is worth noting, of course, that the official website, Ben, does say X1 and PS4 only, which I think is the best thing to assume, at least until we start seeing some more smoke again, until we start seeing that situation of there being smoke and then fire, much like a Kawhi Leonard rumor, I suppose. But this, in this case, all official signs are pointing to it just being console only, with the possibility of a future release on PC, buoyed by Madden returning to the platform. But I guess the speculation is going to be here every year, because it is something that a lot of us, you and I included, would like to see.
Yeah, I mean, like if it did come back, I'd double dip, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, because I'd be have the PS4 perhaps for online, and the much the same as I've done with 2K in recent years, PS4 for multiplayer, and the PC version for the possibility of mods and single player. So, well, franchise player, I suppose I should say. These rumors are going to be, I suppose, until such time as the PC version does happen again, they'll always be there. From what I can tell, the mice and the keyboards were there, that if the build was even just being played on a machine, or if they might have just been there to record the footage.
Yeah, I think it was for the capturing setup, like the capturing devices and stuff they had set up.
Because obviously the content creators who came away with their footage, with their own footage they recorded, not over the shoulder cam, but actually directly from the game, obviously that's probably what's been set up there so that they could have that for the influencers, the content creators, the game changers and so forth who attended the event. But it's always a little bit of excitement in our community when the possibility of a PC release comes around.
Oh yeah, and you know, they, like I said, you know, it was one of the big questions I asked when I was over there last year. You know, yes, okay, the console version was obviously going to be the focus, but you know, if the game started doing well again, then you know they were open to it and all that stuff. So it was just, at this point, it was about getting the game to a level that they were satisfied, and then obviously that's where they could bring it in and pull it over. So yeah,
and
so
that might be the case after this year or next. That especially with the traction that the series is starting to get, and certainly with Madden coming back to the PC, it's testing the waters with a franchise that they have no competition with, because they have the exclusive NFL license, and just seeing what kind of audience is there on the PC version and how they can do it through Origin and everything. So, I mean, I'm fine with it being through Origin as long as we can, especially if we can end up modding it, and if it's, as long as it's a full version, you know, not just some sort of cut-down browser game or something that we're getting on PC, but a full port from the PS4 X1 version. I'm happy with that to be on Origin. I mean, I know not everyone likes the platform, but it's better than no release at all. I'll put that out there. And
yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Obviously, you know, we have Steam for 2K, but that's because 2K don't have their own digital distribution platform. I suppose Rockstar does for GTA, that version. There is a Steam version as well for GTA 5. But, yeah, I just like to see a PC version, basically. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I suppose we'll know when the pre-order information comes out. You know, that'll, confirm it one way or another, plus give us more information about the game, hopefully. But, I mean, I'm not going to tell people, you know, believe what you want to believe, but do keep in mind that a lot of the signs are pointing to it being console only, especially the listing on the official site. And if you expect something that hasn't been announced or promised, it's really on you if you're disappointed by it. It's not their fault if you don't get something that was never promised to you in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just keep expectations in check until official wording or an official announcement.
Absolutely. And with that in mind, we should hopefully be learning more about NBA Live over the coming weeks. NBA Live 19, of course. We know a fair bit about the NBA Live series in general over the years, with the history of the series. Of course, I want to know about Franchise Mode, because that's what I'm probably going to be returning to this year, as well as Ultimate Team. I'm actually a little bit envious, Ben. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to check out the deep dive franchise blog for Madden 19 yet.
No, I haven't yet.
It's worth reading. Well, obviously, if you're interested in Madden, but for an NBA Live gamer like ourselves, it's hard not to be envious to read about some of the improvements that have gone into that mode. And I know all of the modes are going to be receiving some attention this year. That's already been confirmed. And you know, from Live Ultimate Team to Franchise, obviously the one is the priority. But it has been a while since Franchise Mode, or Dynasty Mode, as it was called for a while there, has been a priority for NBA Live, and I know that a lot of people have moved on to the online experiences, the connected online experiences that are connected to the career modes. So that is always going to be the focus these days. But I really would love to see some real depth added to franchise mode. So I'm not expecting anything to the level of My League, but I'd like to see a few steps in that direction. Because what I saw in the franchise blog for Madden 19, I would like some of that stuff. Not necessarily that stuff specifically, but that kind of depth and attention paid to Live's franchise mode as well.
Okay, I'll have to have a look at it. But yeah, I agree. Like, that life does need to add a little or add a lot more work into that mode to expand it and all that stuff, because it has sort of been the same or regressed a little bit over the years. So if they can freshen it out a lot more and, you know, implement a few new cool things, and obviously that more meat to the bones of it, and it'll be really good in the long run.
It's that regression that I think bothers me the most. I mean, it's one thing for it to have not really grown that much since coming into this generation, but the fact that we've lost functionality and features that were there in, like, even as of NBA Live 09 or 10, the last couple of games of the 360 PS3 generation, that hurts, basically, because there was some really good stuff in franchise mode. Association had overtaken it by that point, and that was kind of a shame as well, because NBA Live was the first basketball game to come along with the multi-season franchise mode in NBA Live 2000. It implemented it. It was the innovator for a lot of these things. And now, you know, not only do we have some things that were standard in 2K a couple of years ago, standard in 2K towards the end of the previous generation with association mode, but we're even missing things that were in the last few incarnations of Dynasty mode for, as I said, 08 to 10 when they put in the push approach to Dynasty. And the free agent negotiations and things like that. So we've lost some of that stuff. And of course, once again, I really hope they go to that daily simulation, the calendar system for NBA Live, because
the
weekly system that they put in for 18 based on Madden. When you got one game a week, that makes sense. But I don't like the way it's handled for the NBA situation. I do think it needs to be a daily. Daily task list, daily calendar games, playing, advancing through the calendar one day at a time rather than a week at a time. But I think that's just the way to do it for when you're having four or five games a week, as you do in the NBA. But getting things like editing player numbers, also putting in restrictions on numbers based on retired numbers for the for players, things like that. Some of the deeper free agency and trade logic, and what else have we had? Rumors, I think, for a while there, we had in NBA Live 07 came the rumor mill, and we had, and just some of the NBA Academy practices, things like that. Just some of the features that we had before that really have become standard for that experience. And I know they wanted the streamlined experience and focusing on the one, but I'm a franchise and Ultimate Team guy at this point, and I really think there's a lot of value still in those experiences. Certainly Ultimate Team as well, and they may give a little bit more attention to that because of microtransactions, obviously, that are potential in that mode, and because Ultimate Team, the team building modes are very popular these days as well. But yeah, I just hope that the franchise experience can get even a fraction of what seems to be going into Madden, and possibly with Sean Grady coming over from the Madden team, that might be an area of focus, if not this year, a little bit this year, but then maybe more in future years once the one is kind of settled.
Yeah, I really hope so. You know, this would be a good way to sort of keep the progress going in the mode and all that stuff. If it's a little bit of work this year and then a full blowout next year, I think that'll be good. But you know, as long as it's not like a really light touch that they've done this year, I think they could add a fair bit to the mode and stuff just to sort of really give something a little bit more to those who do play the mode. And, you know, I know some of the community events and stuff, the modes have been really stressed in terms of adding more depth in. And again, when I was there, I gave examples of like our Dynasty threads and how we used to do things and how, you know, to keep people engaged in it, you know, we create faces and draft the players from, we'll draft users from our community and such, so that way they'd keep engaged to find out where they were going, what their stats were, and you know, so when they heard that was like pretty engaging for them. It was like, oh, that's pretty cool, and you know, a good way to sort of keep a retention element in terms of it. So I'm hoping that again they take on some of that stuff that was said and build upon, you know, implementing that mode to a full, to where it could really go in terms of something close to My League and stuff like that.
And you look at something like My League, and My League does it needs a few adjustments to logic, and you can have add some little things here and there, but it's already pretty much it's pretty robust right now. It's hard to really think of big features that you would add to it. So I think Franchise, if it gets a few of those features and keeps building on that, after a couple of years, it could possibly be to the point where they really only need, they don't need to really overhaul or add anything year to year, and they can focus on the other experiences. But it's nowhere near that point at the moment. And I hope it gets there, because it is that traditional mode. There's still a lot of value in it. And the modes are important. I know people will come back to the gameplay, which is paramount. But as you said, it's the player retention. It's the modes that keep you interested, because that's been a problem with Live 18. For some people, if you can't really get into Franchise or the One or Ultimate Team, you know, that's what do you play? You can play Exhibition. You can play WNBA Play now. That's a little different. But there's no WNBA season. You can kind of, I suppose, track your own stats and make your own season, I guess. But that's a lot of work. You want the game modes to do that for you. So it's important that they continue to work on all the modes. They are apparently getting a little bit of attention. At least a little bit of attention this year, which is great. Hoping for the best across the board there, because it all comes down to making that well-rounded product. And the other thing, of course, is important is that the all-important roster editing that was added by the patch last December to Live 18, that doesn't go missing in Live 19 either. Needs to be there, and also sharing facilities.
Yeah, and also gets expanded upon a little bit more as well, you know, within terms of being able to, you know, with the whole creator player aspect, you know, do a little bit more facial sculpting and stuff like that, or even a bit more body sculpting work and all that stuff. A little bit more control there in terms of things. We'll take for example, some of the cities that are mentioned in for Australia and all that stuff. You know, there's a couple of little towns that aren't like capital cities and that. So, yeah, there's like about three choices that were like, well, these are more suburbs than...
Yeah, and these are kind of obscure internationally, yeah. You know. Obviously, my hometown of Newcastle is not in there. And it's, I can go to Sydney because that's the closest one, but
yeah.
I'm sorry, my Newcastle roots really don't like me picking Sydney as my home team. Of course, I've got my surname Begley in the game. That's pretty cool. But yeah. But not being able to pick as many hometowns, I think you need it, even internationally, need to, I guess, have the top 10 biggest towns, I guess, I think would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, well, my city of Brisbane, which is the third largest in Australia, isn't.
That's right, even
listed. Two Melbourne suburbs. I know Carlton was a suburb, is one of the towns listed. I'm like,
it's really weird that they've done that, and I hope that they can. I mean, ideally, it'd be great if you could just type it in, but if you're going to be able to select it from a list, you really need to have for the international options. You do need to have, at least the top 5 to 10 prominent cities, I guess, in the country. And I think even I looked at Cluminati, Mario, of course, on Twitter was even saying, I think it was Twitter, saying they don't even have the capital of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you would think they would at least have all the U.S. state capitals and major cities as well. So the fact that there are, it's not just international people. I mean, fair enough, Australia may seem very obscure. You know, we don't have that many players in the NBA, of course, compared to American players. But when you're not even having some of the major U.S. cities and capitals, that is an issue.
Yeah. Something that, you know, a small thing, but, you know, would go a long way in terms of the immersion element and, you know, getting it to more accurately portray more likely areas now that people live in.
Well, it's all part of the customization and being able to get invested in that player that you create. So that's why you absolutely need to do it.
It's funny, when I did create my player, I ended up having to choose Melbourne.
So you don't have that much of
a... Even though Sydney is technically closer, I chose Melbourne because in the area is basically where
Victoria our family is. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's where my family heritage actually begins in Australia, and that, so it's like, well, it was that, or choose a city that I don't really... I've only been to a couple of times and not really overly enjoy it too much in Sydney. So,
well, from a sports perspective, it's again, for a Novocastrian to pick Sydney as the hometown. Yeah, it's Well, I'm sure people can relate to the rivalries around the world in different areas in sports and
whatnot.
As I said, a standalone playoffs mode I think needs to be there as well. It's really huge that we got that back in 2K. Of course, 2K's also got the start today and start in off-season options in my league as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that'd be great for live, but I think it's going to be maybe another couple of games before we get something like that, if at all. Of course, they do have the synergy data, so they technically could do something like that, I suppose. They've got the... And you look back at what they did with NBA Live... What do they call it? Was it NBA Live Rewind in 09 and 10, where you could go back and play season as well? You know, obviously, they've found ways of doing that with the synergy data, so that'd be great to have that option. Not sure whether that would come into play this year, but certainly, nothing else, at least a standalone playoffs mode, I think, is important.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, add that element of depth and an extra mode. You know, if you don't want to have to go through I suppose they did change it down to 29 games to 82 games, in that, you know, you can sort of change that, but still, you know, that going through that grind element, whereas you can just sort of set up straight away.
You got to sim through the season. You don't get to pick who you want to play with in the. You don't get to set up your own custom brackets, and that's a big thing to do. That's one of the whole appeal. The big appeal of the standalone playoffs mode. So I think that needs to be there. Roster running, of course, the attention across the board. I really do want to see a great NBA game this year, because I know it's about the one, and I know it's about the streets. Of course, the one has the league as well as the streets. And I know the streets is the big hook, and Live Pro Am Tour and everything is the big hook for NBA Live 19, as it was 18 last year. But you really do need to have that NBA experience, because a lot of people have said in recent years about NBA Live. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism, of course, and, you know, a lot of fair criticism, but one of the things that really stands out to me, and it's along the lines of the lacking of roster editing and some other legacy features that really should be in the game, is that it doesn't feel like the focus has been on the NBA product so much as, especially last year, the streets and all that experience, which is important and the hook, but people still do want that NBA sim. So it really, really needs to have that. No, the traditional stuff. As you're going to say, I think so.
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah,
that traditional experience and simulating the NBA, you know, being an NBA sim, that is the important thing for NBA Live 19 to be. But from what we've seen and what we've heard, you know, they haven't gone away from that. So there's still been attention paid to that. So having that more strategic game and the authenticity of the NBA players. I think that experience is going to be there, and I am feeling very optimistic.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, it's... Yeah, looking forward to finding out how robust the game is this year in terms of things, and, you know, when it fully comes time to, you know, spill the beans on all the information that they've had and all that stuff, I'm looking forward to. You know, if they're... The few things that we've seen already, and if they kind of continue that sort of level of improvement in those things and all that stuff, it should be an all-round positive year for them.
It's shaping up to be another one, and Live 18 had its success and started to win people back. Live 19 is definitely looking legit. Hoping for more good news, as we said, across the board, franchise, NBA gameplay, and of course the one, the streets and the league and everything, that needs to be important too, and the online play. I'm certainly hoping that online play is a bit more viable here in Australia, because Live 18, not so much, with some of the lag on, especially jump shots were very difficult in online play. So that's something that needs to be cleaned up. And another reason why I want that traditional experience, because if I can't play online, I want to be able to play something. So it is important to be able to have that traditional experience as well. But with that in mind, when do you think we'll start hearing about some of this stuff? I hope we do get those deep dive developer blogs, much like we're starting it for Madden. I hope we get those again and that they have good news, obviously, but you know, I think Live needs to go all out and really promote this game this year. Well, EA, I should say, should really go all out and promote Live 19.
Yeah, I have a feeling we could potentially learn something during the draft.
Well, you know, now that we've said it, probably tomorrow. But.
Yeah. although, because we're not recording on a Friday at the moment, that's... maybe not the case.
Who knows, though? Who knows?
Yeah, That's true. And
well, I suppose it would be a Sunday, wouldn't it? So, 2 days' time then.
Yep.
Monday US time, we'll hear about it.
So I'm hoping we'll learn something. Actually, I think I even said it to you before we recorded last week that I think around the 22nd, I think we might know something a little bit more. And that actually coincides around the draft date. So
yep.
That was I just realized when the draft date was just before we started recording today. And that, so if that was the case, it may have been a good guess for two reasons in that sense.
Something by the end of this month, maybe, which maybe around the pre-order, you know, a couple of blogs around when they put up the pre-orders. And is that June 25th that they're looking at doing that? I think I remember that date. I could be pulling that out of thin air, though.
It might be the 25th or it might be the 29th. I think maybe the 29th, or am I just thinking of release dates from games from E3? I can't remember now.
For some reason, June 25th is stuck in my head, but
it makes sense being on a Monday, and my one being again on a Friday, so likely on a Monday. I think we'll go probably on the 25th, and that, yeah.
But certainly within the next week or so, that's going to go up, and if we get some more news, then certainly that's gives us something to talk about, basically, and look forward to, and that's, with both games coming out, it's great to have the previews of both, and if we can kind of have a bit of live stuff, a bit of 2K stuff, and then as both of them are coming up, because they're both coming out September 7th, if you pre-order the LeBron, with the 20th anniversary edition of 2K19, of course, you get it on the 7th. If the standard edition is the 11th, which we discussed the issues with that last week, Live 19 is coming out on the 7th, so they're obviously doing the right thing there and the smart thing there to get the game in people's hands, whether they have a special edition this year or not, that people are going to be able to get that. So again, anything for goodwill is a good move for Live to get people to give the game a chance. But from what we've seen, it seems to be impressing a lot of people. You know, there are naysayers, understandably, and not everyone's happy with what they see. And of course, there are legitimate criticisms to make. But I think it's been a very positive showing once again at EA Play for NBA Live. And what can you say? I mean, you know, as we've said all show long, basically, we still have our concerns and things we want to see, but we are quite happy with what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, it's, you know, another good step forward. I'm hoping that, you know, I think again something I stated in last week's podcast that, you know, since the foundation is there, but they can start taking bigger leaps in terms of the progression and stuff each year now. So that's what I'm hoping now from the game for the next couple of years is that, you know, that the big strides. All the strides will be a lot bigger. I can understand, you know, when they do decide to initially make that transition to Frostbite, that it might not be as big again because of the amount of work that will go into it. But I have a feeling that'll be... It'll make sense if they do it when the next gen starts. Because then otherwise you'd kind of potentially have to do it twice within like 2 or 3 years in terms of like a rebuild, like, well, to do the transition thing. So I think two birds, one stone element would work better in that sense.
Yeah, you don't want those. You don't want to be taking backward steps after making so many strides. And if the next couple of years can be that real level of polish and innovation that we've been wanting to see, and building on that strong foundation they now seem to have, then Live may have taken a long time, but you know, that's what patience and perseverance pays off, I suppose, in the long run. And it's why we do need the two games, because especially when you see what 2K has been doing with microtransactions and the grinding and whatnot, there needs to be an alternative. And maybe people are going to be turned off by the EA brand. Maybe they'll never win some people over. That's just the way it is. And EA has to own that because they have made their mistakes as a company and with Live specifically. But they seem to be trying to do the right thing by basketball gamers. They've got some good ideas going with NBA Live 19, and hopefully, you know, we thought last year would be a great year for basketball gaming. It was. I think it was okay. People said it was a bad year. I don't think it was a bad year so much as perhaps a little bit disappointing in some respects. Games not turning out quite as well as we hoped, but there is cause for optimism this year, and I'm, you know, you never want to get too carried away with it and get your hopes up so high that they can never be reached. And I think a lot of Fallout gamers can relate to that, actually. So you never want to do that. Never, as I said, never want to expect something that is not promised. But I'm feeling quite optimistic about Live, at least. 2K, I do want to hear a bit more about. I just hope they've learned from their mistakes, as EA appears to be learning from theirs.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, right now, again, you know, I stated in previous years that I don't really feel like pre-ordering the game or in that sort of sense. And this year, I think, is probably the more stronger case that I probably won't do it. You know, if I do get it, it'll probably be closer to Christmas time, I think. You know, if the game is, you know, if the game is far better polished than it was 2K18, and I might consider it. But I don't think I'd be really doing like the Mario stuff on that. I think I want to stay away from that whole VC route element to it.
I think we need to take a break. If you go back and listen to our complaints about it, you can tell how burned out we are on it. So, I mean, maybe it is time to be focusing a bit more on maybe Live online, if that is a feasible, viable option for us this year. And maybe just be playing the franchise modes, and of course in, or Ultimate Team or whatever, and in 2K playing with the historical teams and whatnot.
Yeah.
One final note on that, you know, along those lines. Obviously, we're hoping that we'll see some more historical content in Live, or at least we'll see it outside of Ultimate Team. I think that's going to be big. A couple of people have asked about that, I believe, and haven't really got an answer about it. They're not talking about it yet. But
they're not talking about Legend teams just now, is kind of the wording that was said during one of the interviews. So
hopefully it's at least Decade All-Stars. I don't think we're going to see what the level of what they've done in 2K, especially with 2K having a lot of exclusive deals with Michael Jordan and whatnot. And, you know, that's obviously a big selling point for any historical content these days, and for a long time. But we might see Decade All-Star teams. You know, I'm not reporting that as a fact at all, but I think that would be a really good move to have them in some capacity outside of Ultimate Team so that everyone can enjoy them.
Yeah, great. You know, it'd be good to sort of have that nostalgia element back, and, you know, given some of the previous Decade teams that we've had in the past, they were pretty entertaining and pretty fun to play. So, yeah, it'd be good if they could bring an element of that back, and especially given that, you know, there's been a bit of a gap for Live in that department where they've not had them in, you know, so you get, you know, a fair few new players in that sort of sense, and you know, you could sort of match up between, you know, some of the past generations, like the 90s and all that stuff, and compare it to today's generation and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think it'd be that interesting dynamic sort of element in that sort of sense if they could have that, and you could definitely, you know, do the virtual argument of which decade was better.
For sure. And you can obviously have a couple more teams in there now. You can have the 2000s, the 2010s, because we're almost through this decade now. So you could definitely do that. You know, I've enjoyed having the Legends in Ultimate Team, as I've said, having my 90s All-Stars. I just got a Glenn Rice card by completing the challenge this evening before we started recording, and picked up from the auction house Alonzo Mourning and Kevin Garnett, Timberwolves Kevin Garnett and Hornets Mourning. So
nice.
A little bit of padding out the team with some old favorites there, and that's been fun for Ultimate Team this year, and I have enjoyed it. But to be able to play with them at any time and put them on, even, you know, be able to put them on current teams and mix and match and have all kinds of fantasy lineups for franchise mode if you like, I think there's a lot of value in that, and even just for exhibition play. So I do hope we get some extra content and more stuff with the WNBA. Live 19 has a great opportunity to be a really fleshed out game with some solid modes, still with room for improvement, but some really solid modes, improved gameplay, and some extra content, that you're looking at a game that's as strong as it's been in a decade or more. So that's what I'm hoping for and looking forward to, I guess.
Yeah, me too. You know, and I think an extra way that they could potentially, you know, potentially get some extra play, like extra people to purchase the game, because the game releases already on the same day as the special edition, if they undercut them price-wise, you know, they might go, well, you know, if I was going to spend, what was it? Because it's $100 US, isn't it, for the
For the 20th anniversary edition, yeah. So I think I think it's about 150 Australian, something like that again.
Yeah. So I think if they did something, say, like, sell it for 30 on release day again.
Yep.
And you know, some people might go, oh, if I buy this one on September 7 and I buy the normal, like the normal retail version or the traditional release version of 2K on September 11th, you know, they could essentially buy two games and end up saving $10 because it'd be $90 instead of $100 purchase. And that'd be a way to get a 4-day advantage of people playing the game, and they go, oh, okay, this is pretty good. And, you know, then they, you know, could, you know, potentially balance out their time more in deciding which game they want to play. So they can get that sort of advantage in that sort of sense. So there could be a couple of positives in that sense.
Yeah, the pre-order discount is a big deal. And if you can give people what feels like recommended retail price worth of value out of the game and a bit of a discount on it for the trust in pre-ordering, then I think you've shown a lot of goodwill and you've impressed people. That's only can only bode well for the series moving forward. Mm. You know, and maybe even bring it back to PC, just to bring it back to the PC discussion. So, yeah. But, yeah, I guess it's been a week of some news for NBA Live 19 and some positive things, but you never know how the previous season's going to go, because it's been a little bit quiet in recent years. It's taken a while to get going, but hopefully some tidbits from here on out.
Yeah, fingers crossed that, you know, just that little trickle down of, you know, one or two things each week would be good.
And eventually a torrent when we get to the point of having the demos come out in late August, of course.
Yeah.
But that has pretty much brought us to the end of episode number 253 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed this week's discussion. If you did, we encourage you to tune into the show each and every week. You can find us on the Stitcher app. You can find us on iTunes and other podcast catching apps and services, or you can keep streaming the podcast on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Like us there. We're on Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and of course the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, is where you can go for all your basketball gaming needs. But that will do it for this week. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like my interest in Fallout 76.